Time to start thinking about Ducks and Utes from the Huntsman Center, two of the top four teams in the Pac-12. He's the beat writer for the Salt Lake Trib. Turn our attention to Round Ball. You can catch his work online, sltrib.com. Follow on Twitter, the handle at Kyle Goon. Kyle, always appreciate the time. Have you been?
Good, Steve. How are you?
All is well. No complaints.
So you're with the producer, so have they finally put you on a leash now?
Yeah. After years of clamoring, I'm finally under somebody's thumb. Think about the mentality before the season. I mean, you had the big fella, Jakob Poeltl, a lottery pick gone, key player, Jordan Loveridge, Brandon Taylor out. There was some solid talent returning from a tournament team, but the media poll had the Utes eighth. Curious as to you, what you thought maybe was realistic for this team to accomplish this season.
Yeah, I really can't say I saw everything coming because I had them, I think, sixth or seventh, somewhere along those lines. The fact is, preseason polls, you can only know so much, and what you can know is, hey, who's coming back? What are the pieces that are returning? Who are these guys that are these proven prospects? And Utah just didn't have it. I mean, as you mentioned, they lost all those guys. They lost a lottery draft pick. And they brought in 12 players who weren't on, who never suited up for them last year. So, it was so much newness. I think you had to have a lot of faith in Larry Kostoviak. That he was going to be able to pull it together and kind of create a cohesive team out of the parts. But he has, to his credit. And I think the league is kind of seeing now, oh, wow, this team is amping up. So, Dana Altman said it the other day. This team looks like an NCAA tournament team. I think they've got a way to go in that regard, but they're certainly playing well right now.
Yeah, getting to this season, basically all of the talk within the conference has been about the three teams at the top, Oregon, UCLA, and Arizona, yet, as always, Utah just kind of right there. The five losses this season, four of them to teams ranked at the time. Is the sense around the team, being unranked and unseen, kind of fine as long as we end up near the top? Or, as the team picked, to finish eighth coming into this year as well, are they feeling disrespected? Do they mention that at all?
Oh yeah, they mentioned it, and I think I can't remember now whether it was after the USC win where they beat USC by 22, or when they lost to UCLA by 1 point. I think it was after the UCLA game. The point guard Lorenzo Bonham said, being picked eighth, that was disrespectful. I think people see now that we're better than that. I think Larry is trying to kind of phase them out of that sort of anger motivation. You get to a certain point in the season, people know who you are, people know how good you are, and preseason rankings don't really matter anymore. So I think that Utah's trying to phase itself out of that. But certainly, I think as they've been coming together, they have two transfers eligible now that weren't eligible until late December. And those guys have been integrated pretty well, and they're shooting really well. So I think they're just sort of trying to kind of move past that that attitude that they had of being disrespected and just trying to be one of those top four teams in the league. That's their goal. They want to buy for the Pac-12 tournament. And, historically, if you reach the top four in the league, you have a pretty good shot at making it to the big dance.
We continue with Kyle Goon, Salt Lake Trib, one of the freshmen that gave fans a reason for optimism, the young guy from Battle Creek, Michigan, Devin Daniels. He had a terrific game in the Washington rout. How's he come along as a freshman as far as the kind of contribution he's been making 19 games in?
Oh, it's honestly crazy. I didn't really expect him to make the kind of impact he did. Sort of off the cuff, I had heard, he's a really mature kid in terms of his body. He's thicker than a lot of freshmen you see coming in. Just more well built. He spent a year at a high powered prep school with Josh Jackson, who's really the really good freshman guard in Kansas right now. And I think that that experience really kind of set him off. And he's just, the thing that stands out to me is that he's just unintimidated by some of these big situations. Utah went into Xavier, which is a really tough place to play, top 25 team. And he led the team with 19 points. And he's kind of been able to do that and show up in some of these big road games. You mentioned the Washington game. He scored 22, shooting 10 for 13. And he's just a really hard charger to the basket. He's 6'5", has pretty decent size for his position at this level. Just physically mature, just unintimidated. And he's been hitting threes recently. He's 9 for 12 in his last 12 attempts from three-point land. So that's sort of this added aspect to his game where he can beat guys off the dribble, but also hit it from deep. So he's becoming a problem on offense.
Yeah, I got a question. Before we get into this this week and tomorrow's game, Utah, a pretty good run of players throughout the years, a couple of them with really good NBA careers now. It's easy to look at a list of Utah players and say Tom Chambers or even Andre Miller are the best, but I'm curious, when you have, say, random dude in airport talk to you and you tell him you cover Utah hoops, who's the guy they usually bring up or want to talk about? Like, for guys in my era, it's guys like Van Horn or Dre, but, you know, you have Bogut in the league currently. which guy gets the most chatter?
Oh, I mean, I think those guys that they bring up. I think Andre, having played in the league for so long, and it's almost weird that he's out of it.
Yeah, you know that's what I mean? Right.
He retired like a year or two ago. And he came to the Arizona game, actually, and was in the front row. It's funny. I went down, and, you know NBA guys like that, when they go to games, an hour ahead of time, they're down courtside. Everyone wants to talk to them.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of, trying to get a picture or whatever. And so I was like, oh, it'd be good to get an interview for, sidebar type story. And I walked up to him, and he turned around and was like, oh, man, I'm glad you're here. Can you show me where section one is?
Awesome. That's perfect.
So, but I eventually was able to all the way to the front row. But it was funny. He's a really happy-go-lucky guy, really funny guy. And I asked him, hey, are you thinking about getting into coaching? He's like, nope, just gonna watch. He's really enjoying his retirement. He's just flying around at basketball games and catching the guys. So that's all he really wants to do right now.
That's awesome.
That's hysterical. After the Husky game, I read what you wrote, and the Utes, actually for the Cougs and the Dogs, they just killed them inside. They had almost 100 points in the paint in those two wins. And you mentioned for the first time since 1993, they've scored more than 80 points in five consecutive games. So what's starting to click for them offensively?
Yeah, I mean, guys are making shots, and more so than that, they know what kind of shots they're looking for. From the outset, we kind of knew that Utah was a slashing team. They bring back Bonham. They bring back Kuzma, two guys who can get to the rim. And then they add guys like Devin Daniels, JoJo Zamora, who's a junior college guy who's been able to get to the rim, David Collette, who, he's a kind of a question mark for tomorrow night. But he's just a really good finisher, shooting around 64% around the rim. So we kind of knew that those guys would be able to get shots if they got to those spots. And I think what Utah's done now better than in before is they're just getting to those spots. And certainly Saturday night was just a game where, they set really good screens. They were patient against some of UW's shot blockers and got the shots they wanted. Actually, the last two games, they destroyed Washington State, too, by 41 points. And it was the same kind of deal. There, you look at the shot chart after the game, it's like layup, 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 dunk, layup, layup. And those are the kind of shots they've been able to get. Now, against Oregon, that's going to be the test, since those guys are such good shot blockers. They have such great inside presence defensively. But certainly Utah has matched their offense, their personnel. They're setting good screens, and guys are coming off really hard and able to make tough shots. So, they went toe-to-toe with UCLA at home, lost by 1 point.
Yep.
When you're able to match with UCLA's offense like that, that's a pretty good night.
You know, a lot made certainly around these parts recently in terms of the injury with the foot situation of Dylan Brooks. Matter of a few days, he went from being out for a month in the minds of Oregon fans to suddenly being a game-time decision for the Utes. Utah dealing with a big injury, too. I believe it was yesterday you wrote a story that the team isn't saying whether or not transfer David Collette suits up for this game thanks to his concussion. I guess, you know, what's your hunch on if he plays or not? And assuming he doesn't, what kind of blow is it to their chances of beating Oregon?
I really think it's 50-50. You know, I think I've heard from David's family that he's feeling a little bit better this week. I haven't heard if he's actually passed the concussion protocol. So, you know, I'm not sure. But then on the other hand, Larry said he's probably not going to be practicing for a while. And, you know, that might be precautionary. They don't want any extra head blows in practice. Again, this is sort of a concussion from a couple weeks ago. He initially passed concussion protocol, then I guess last week before the road trip started getting some headaches. Hmm. So, you know, Larry said that's kind of something that happens occasionally with concussions. Symptoms resurface a couple weeks later, but you know it's just a tricky deal. You never know. You never want to rush that kind of thing. You never want to put a kid out there who could be at risk for further head injury. So right now, based on what I know, I would say it's sort of 50-50. You know, I think the fact that he's not practicing is probably a strike against him. But I have heard that he's kind of feeling a little bit better, and certainly if he's clearing protocol, I would think he wants to play.
All right. He's Kyle Goon. File all he does, sltrib.com. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at Kyle Goon. Always fun catching up, and, Kyle. Appreciate the time.
And, hey, if you guys are ever in Salt Lake and need to find out where your seat is, I can help you out.
You're the guy?
You're the guy.
All right.
Ticket, I'm the guy.
Ticket agent be damned. We got Kyle.
We'll tweet at you first. Before. <All right. laughs>
Hey, thanks a lot, Kyle. Enjoy it, man.